Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today. Shalom and happy Purim. Purim Sameach. This is Johanna. I'm your reader today. Today is Sunday, the 24th of March, and on the Hebrew calendar, it is the 14th of Adar, so it is the Feast of Purim. Today in history, the Jews feasted and rejoiced for the victory over their enemies, Esther 9:17. This was done on the 13th day of the month, Adar, and on the 14th day they rested and made it a day of feasting and rejoicing. According to tradition, it is also the day of Moshe's circumcision. Well, we're going to read special Purim readings today, but we're starting in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Before we begin our reading, let's take a moment to bless God and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Let's start in Exodus 17 and verse 8. Then the Amalekites came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moshe said to Yehoshua, "Choose men, go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Yehoshua did as Moshe said and fought the Amalekites, while Moshe, Aharon, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. When Moshe held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, the Amalekites prevailed. Moshe's hands grew heavy, so they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat down. Aharon and Hur held up his hands, one on each side. So his hands were steady until the sun went down. So Yehoshua overpowered the Amalekites and his army with the edge of the sword. The Lord said to Moshe, "Write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the hearing of Yehoshua, for I will utterly blot out the memory of the Amalekites from under heaven." Then Moshe built an altar and called the name of it the Lord Nisi. Then he said, "By the hand upon the throne of the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." That was Exodus 17, 8 through 16. And now we get to read the special story of Purim. We're going to read the whole book of Esther. Chapter 1. This is what happened in the days of Ahasuerus. The Ahasuerus, who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. At that time, King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in the castle in Shushan. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his princes and his servants, the military leaders of Persia and Media, plus the nobles and officials of the provinces were present. he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty for many days, 180 days. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the garden court of the king's palace for all the people who were present in the palace at Shushan, for both the greatest to the least. There were white and blue linen curtains hung by cords of fine linen and purple on silver rings and marble columns, gold and silver couches on a mosaic pavement of alabaster, marble, mother of pearl and minerals. Wine was served in golden goblets, each of which was different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant according to the king's wealth. In keeping with the law, there were no restrictions on drinking, for the king had instructed the supervisors of his household to comply with each person's desire. In addition, Queen Vashti held a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry from the wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizeta, Harbona, Bigta, Abagta, Zetal, and Calchas, the 7 eunuchs who attended Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing the royal crown. He wanted to show the peoples and the officials her beauty, for she was very attractive. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, conveyed by the eunuchs. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. So the king consulted the wise men who discerned the times, for it was the king's practice to consult experts in matters of law and justice. Those closest to him were Karshena, Shetar, Admata, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, who had access to the king's presence and were the highest in the kingdom. By law, what is to be done with Queen Vashti for failing to obey the command of King Ahasuerus conveyed by the eunuchs? Then Memucan answered in the presence of the king and the princes, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also all the princes and peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's conduct will go out to all the women making their husbands contemptible in their eyes, by saying, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought in before him, but she would not come. This very day, the noble women of Persia and Media, who have heard of the matter concerning the queen, will respond similarly to all the king's princes, and there will be no end to the contempt and anger. If it pleases the king, let a royal commandment go forth from him, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti may not come into the presence of King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal status to another who is more worthy than she. Then the king's edict, which he will enact, will be proclaimed throughout all his vast kingdom, and all the wives will give their husbands honor from the greatest to the smallest. The matter pleased the king and the princes, so the king did according to the word of Memucan. He sent letters throughout all the royal provinces, to each province in its own script, and to each people in its own language, that every man should be in charge of his own household and speak the language of his own people. Chapter 2. After these things, when King Ahasuerus's anger subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants who attended him said, Let a search be made on the king's behalf for beautiful young virgins. Let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom to gather together all the beautiful young virgins to the palace at Shushan in the house of women under the supervision of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who oversees the women. Let them be given beauty treatments. Then let the young woman who pleases the king become queen instead of Vashti. This advice pleased the king, and he acted accordingly. There was a Jewish man in the Shushan palace whose name was Mordechai, son of Yair, son of Shimi, son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been taken into exile from Jerusalem with the captives that had been carried away with King Yeconiah of Yehuda, whom King Nebuchadnezzar of Babel had taken away. He had raised Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The girl was attractive and had a beautiful figure. When her father and mother died, Mordechai took her to him as his own daughter. After the king's order and decree became known, many young women were assembled into the palace of Shushan under the supervision of Haggai. Esther was also taken into the king's household under the supervision of Haggai, guardian of the women. This young woman pleased him and found favor with him. He quickly arranged her beauty treatments and provided her special food. He also provided her with 7 specially chosen young women from the king's household. Then he moved her and her maids to the best place in the women's house. Esther had not disclosed her people or her lineage because Mordechai had commanded her not to make them known. Every day, Mordechai walked in front of the women's courtyard to find out how Esther was and what might happen to her. When each young woman's turn came to go to King Ahasuerus at the end of 12 months, as prescribed for the women, for in this way they fulfilled their beautification, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and women's cosmetics. The young woman would go to the king in this way. Whatever she asked for was given to her to take with her from the women's house to the king's palace. In the evening she would go, and in the morning she would return to the second women's home, under the supervision of Shaashgaz, the king's eunuch, guardian of the concubines. She would not go back to the king unless the king was pleased with her and summoned her by name. When the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Avichail, the uncle of Mordechai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go to the king, she did not ask for anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the guardian of the women, advised. And Esther won favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Then Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus at his royal house in the 10th month, which is the month Tevet, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she won his grace and favor more than all the other virgins. So he placed the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his princes and servants. He proclaimed a holiday for the provinces and distributed gifts in keeping with the king's wealth. When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordechai was sitting in the king's gate. Esther had not yet made known her lineage or her people, just as Mordechai had told her. Esther continued to follow Mordechai's instructions, as she had done when he was bringing her up. In those days, while Mordechai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigtan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Ahasuerus. But Mordechai found out about the plot and told it to Queen Esther. Esther informed the king in Mordechai's name. When the matter was investigated and found to be so, they were both hanged on the gallows. It was then written in the book of the Chronicles in the king's presence. Chapter 3. Sometime later, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, son of Hammedata, the Agagite, elevating him and setting his chair above all the officials who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded it. But Mordechai would not bow down or pay him honor. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordechai, "Why are you disobeying the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he would not listen to them. Therefore they told Haman in order to see whether Mordechai's resolve would prevail, for he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordechai was not bowing down or paying him honor, Haman was filled with rage. But it was repugnant in his eyes to lay hands on Mordechai alone, for they had told him the identity of Mordechai's people. So Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordechai, who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast the pur, that is the lot, in the presence of Haman from day to day and month to month, up to the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Haman then said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom, whose laws differ from those of every other people, and who do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let an edict be written to destroy them. I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry out this business, to put it into the king's treasuries." The king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedata, the Agagite, enemy of the Jews. The king said to Haman, "The silver and the people are yours. Do with them as you please." The king's scribes were summoned in the first month, on the 13th day, and an edict was written as Haman had commanded. Everything Haman commanded was written to the king's provincial governors, and to the officials who were in every province, and to the officials of every people, province by province, according to its script, and people by people, according to its language. It was written in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed with the king's ring. Dispatches were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces, stating to destroy, slay, and annihilate all the Jews, from the youth to the elderly, both little children and women, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, to plunder their possessions. A copy of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to all people, so that they would be ready for that day. The couriers went out hurriedly with the king's command, and the edict was issued in the palace in Shushan. The king and Haman then sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was dumbfounded. Chapter 4. When Mordechai learned all that was done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the middle of the city, crying out in a loud and bitter voice. He went only as far as the king's gate, because no one could enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. In each and every province where the king's edict and law came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many put on sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, the queen was greatly distressed. She sent clothes for Mordechai to put on, so he would remove his sackcloth, but he refused. So Esther summoned Hatach, one of the king's eunuchs whom he had appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordechai to find the cause and reason for this. So Hatach went out to Mordechai in the city square in front of the king's gate. Mordechai told him everything that had happened to him, even the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a written copy of the decree, which had been distributed in Shushan for their annihilation, to show to Esther and to explain it to her. He instructed her to go into the king to beg his favor and plead before him on behalf of her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordechai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him instructions for Mordechai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces fully understand that for anyone, man or woman, who approaches the king in the inner courtyard without being summoned, he has one law, that he be put to death, unless the king extends his golden scepter, permitting him to live. But I have not been summoned to come to the king for 30 days. So they conveyed Esther's words to Mordechai. Mordechai told them to reply to Esther with this answer: Do not think in your soul that you will escape in the king's household more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Who knows whether you have attained royal status for such a time as this? Esther sent this reply to Mordechai: Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast in the same way. Afterwards, I will go in to the king, even though it is not according to the law. So if I perish, I perish. So Mordechai left and did all that Esther commanded him. Chapter 5. On the third day, Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courtyard, she found favor in his eyes. So the king held out to Esther the golden scepter in his hand, and Esther approached and touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said to her, What is it, Queen Esther? Whatever you request, even as much as half of the kingdom, it will be given to you. So Esther said, If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I have prepared for him. The king replied, Bring Haman quickly so we may do what Esther said. Then the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king said to Esther, What is your request? It will be granted to you. Whatever you request, even as much as half the kingdom, it will be fulfilled. Esther answered and said, My petition and my request is this: If I have found favor in the king's eyes, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and my request, then let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet that I will prepare for them, and then I will do as the king requests. Haman went out that day happy and in good spirits. However, when Haman saw Mordechai at the king's gate, and he did not rise or tremble before him, Haman was filled with rage against Mordechai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. He sent for his friends and his wife, Zeresh. Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and how the king had promoted him and exalted him above the other officials and servants of the king. Haman added, And that is not all. Queen Esther invited only me to accompany the king to a banquet that she prepared, and she has also invited me along with the king tomorrow. Yet all this does not satisfy me, as long as I see Mordechai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then Zeresh's wife and all his friends said to him, "Let them set up a gallows 50 cubits high, and in the morning ask the king to have Mordechai hanged on it. Then go happily with the king to the banquet." This idea delighted Haman, and he ordered the gallows to be built. Chapter 6. That night, sleep deserted the king, so he ordered the books of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read before the king. It was found recorded there that Mordechai had revealed that Bigtana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the door, had conspired to kill King Ahasuerus. The king asked, "What honor or recognition has been shown to Mordechai for this?" The king's servants that attended him replied, "Nothing has been done for him." The king said, "Who is in the courtyard?" Now Haman had just come into the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordechai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servants answered, "Haman is standing in the courtyard." The king said, "Let him come in." When Haman entered, the king asked him, "What should be done for a man whom the king desires to honor?" Now Haman thought to himself, "Whom would the king desire to honor rather than me?" So Haman replied, "For the man whom the king desires to honor, let them bring a royal robe that the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and the horse be placed into the hand of one of the king's most noble princes. Let them clothe the man whom the king desires to honor, and parade him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming, 'This is what is done for a man the king desires to honor.'" The king said to Haman, "Go quickly, take the robe and the horse, just as you suggested, for Mordechai, the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything that you recommended." So Haman took the robe and the horse, robed Mordechai, and paraded him through the city streets, proclaiming, "This is what is done for the man whom the king desires to honor." Afterwards, Mordechai then returned to the king's gate. But Haman rushed to his home, grief-stricken and with his head covered. Haman recounted to his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, "Since Mordechai, before whom you have begun your downfall, is of Jewish descent, you won't be able to stand against him. In fact, you will certainly fall before him." While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hurried Haman along to the banquet Esther had prepared. Chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to dine with Queen Esther, and as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king asked Esther again, "Whatever your request, even as much as half of the kingdom, it will be given to you." So Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor in the eyes of the king, and if it pleases the king, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare the life of my people. This is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, for destruction, slaughter, and annihilation. If we had simply been sold as male and female slaves, I would have remained silent, for such distress would not be worth disturbing the king." King Ahasuerus responded to Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is the man that has presumed to do this?" Esther replied, "The man, the adversary and foe, is this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Enraged, the king got up from the banquet of wine and withdrew to the palace garden. But Haman stayed behind to plead with Queen Esther for his life, for he realized that the king had determined a catastrophic end for him. When the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the same couch where Esther was. The king exclaimed, "Will he also assault the queen while she is with me in the palace?" As soon as these words came out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "Look, a gallows 50 cubits high is standing next to Haman's house. Haman himself made it for Mordechai, who spoke good on behalf of the king." The king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordechai. Then the king's rage subsided. Chapter 8. That same day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. Then Mordechai came into the presence of the king, for Esther had revealed how he was related to her. The king took off his signet ring, which he had taken back from Haman, and gave it to Mordechai. Esther then appointed Mordechai over Haman's estate. Esther again pleaded with the king, falling at his feet and weeping. She pleaded with him to stop the evil of Haman the Agagite and his plan that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king extended the golden scepter to Esther, and she arose and stood before the king. She said, "If it pleases the king, and if I have found favor before him, and it seems right to the king, and if I am pleasing in his eyes, let an edict be written, rescinding the dispatches devised by Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews who are throughout the king's provinces. For how can I endure seeing the disaster that will fall on my people? How can I bear to see the destruction of my relatives?" King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordechai the Jew, "I have decided to give Haman's estate to Esther, and I had him hanged on the gallows because he stretched out his hand against the Jews. Now write in the king's name, on behalf of the Jews, what seems good to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For a decree that is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring cannot be revoked." So the king's scribes were called at that time, on the 23rd day of the third month, the month of Sivan. It was written according to all that Mordechai commanded to all the Jews, as well as to the officials, governors, and advisors of all the 127 provinces that stretch from India to Ethiopia. To each province it was written in its own script and in its own language, and also to the Jews in their own writing and language. The decree was written in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed with the king's ring, and sent on horseback by couriers who rode on the king's horses, specially bred for their speed. The king granted the right for Jews in every city to assemble themselves and to protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate any army of any people or province that might attack them and their women and children, and to plunder their possessions. The day appointed for this in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus was the 13th day of the 12th month, the month Adar. A copy of the written edict was distributed to every province and made known to the peoples of every nationality, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers that rode royal horses raced out, pressed on by the king's command. The decree was also given out at the palace at Shushan. Then Mordechai went out from the king's presence in blue and white royal robes, with a large gold crown, and also a purple robe of fine linen. The city of Shushan shouted and rejoiced. For the Jews there was light and gladness, joy and honor. throughout every province and throughout every city, wherever the king's edict and his law went, the Jews had gladness and joy, banquets and holidays. Many peoples of the land became Jews because the fear of the Jews had overcome them. Chapter 9. Consequently, on the 13th day of the 12th month, that is the month Adar, the king's edict and his laws drew near to be carried out. On that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. But, contrary to expectations, the Jews gained the upper hand over those that hated them. Jews assembled in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus in order to lay hands on those seeking their harm. No one was able to stand against them, for fear of them had fallen on all the peoples. Even all the administrators of the provinces, the officers and governors, and those doing business for the king helped the Jews, for the dread of Mordechai had fallen on them. Mordechai was prominent at the palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. The man Mordechai was growing ever more powerful. The Jews struck down all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying, and they did whatever they wished to those who hated them. In the citadel at Shushan, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 people, including Parshandata, Dalfon, Aspata, Porata, Adalia, Aridata, Parmashta, Arisai, Aridai, and Vaizata, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamadata, the enemy of the Jews. They slew them, but did not lay their hands on the plunder. On that day, the number of those that were killed in the citadel at Shushan was brought to the king's attention. Then the king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in the citadel of Shushan, including Haman's 10 sons. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is your request? It shall be granted to you. What other petition do you have? It shall be done." "If it please the king," Esther said, "let the Jews in Shushan be allowed to carry out today's edict, tomorrow also, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows." The king commanded that this be done. A decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. The Jews in Shushan gathered together on the 14th day of the month Adar, and they killed 300 men in Shushan. But they did not put their hands on the plunder. Meanwhile, the rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces gathered together to protect themselves and to get relief from their enemies. They killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. This happened on the 13th day of Adar, and on the 14th day they rested, making it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were in Shushan had assembled on the 13th and on the 14th, and on the 15th day they rested, making it a day of feasting and gladness. That is why the rural Jews, those living in unwalled villages, make the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, a day of sending presents of food to one another. Mordechai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, urging them to celebrate the 14th and 15th days of Adar every year, as the days when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into celebration. These were to be days of feasting, celebration, and sending presents of food to one another and giving gifts to the poor. So the Jews agreed to continue the commemoration they had begun and do what Mordechai had written to them. For Haman, son of Hammedata the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had schemed against the Jews to destroy them and had cast the poor, that is, the lot, to ruin and destroy them. But when it came to the king's attention, he issued a written edict that the wicked scheme Haman had devised against the Jews should come back on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. For this reason, these days were called Purim, from the word pur. Therefore, because of everything in this letter, and because of what they have seen and what has happened to them, the Jews established and took upon themselves, upon their descendants, and upon all who joined with them, that they would commemorate these 2 days in the way prescribed at the appointed time every year. These days should be remembered and observed in every generation, by every family, and in every province and every city. These days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor their remembrance perish from their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Avichail, and also Mordechai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter of Purim. He sent letters to all the Jews in the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of shalom and truth, to establish these days of Purim at their designated times, just as Mordechai the Jew and Queen Esther had decreed for them, and just as they had established for themselves and their descendants, matters regarding their times of fasting and lamentations. Esther's command confirmed these regulations about Purim, and it was written into the records. Chapter 10. Now King Ahasuerus imposed a tribute upon the entire land, even to the coastlands of the sea. All the acts of his power and might, along with the full account of the greatness of Mordechai, and the story of how the king promoted him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia? For Mordechai the Jew was second only to King Ahasuerus, preeminent among the Jews, and held in high esteem by the multitude of his people. He sought their good and spoke for their welfare of his descendants. That was the whole book of Esther, the whole Megillah. And now, as a conclusion, we're going to read a passage from the book of Romans. It's Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 36. For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own eyes, that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Yaakov. And this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the good news, they are hostile for your sake, but concerning chosenness, they are loved on account of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, in like manner, these also have now been disobedient, with the result that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may receive mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience, so that he might show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and how incomprehensible his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, that it shall be repaid to him? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. That was Romans 11, 25 through 36, and it wraps up our readings for Purim. I hope that if you're celebrating Purim today with your family, that it would be joyous and special and hope-filled and faith-filled celebration. This is Johanna from Israel with Daily Bread for Busy Moms, wishing you Purim Sameach, Happy Purim, and Shalom from the mountains of Judah. Until next time.